Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Yes, indeed, you are once again in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show with your host, Brother James Brown Jr. And yes, we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I am so excited to be back with you all once again on tonight. My guest is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. He's going to be doing part two of his message from the last time he was on. His message title is, What's Stopping You from Seeing the Lord? That's a good question on tonight. His message title on tonight is, What's Stopping You? That's personal. What's Stopping You from Seeing the Lord? Part two on tonight from Deacon Marvin Cox. As we already know, he always shares with us inspirational poems first. He's going to do the same thing on tonight. He's going to share with us on tonight another inspirational poem first before he brings forth God's word. So I'm asking all the listeners, please make sure you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight as he gets ready to deliver another powerful word from the Lord on tonight. We always open up with prayer because we serve an awesome God who is able to hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God. What an awesome God we serve. Please pray with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our living Lord and Savior and soon coming King, it is in his name we come once again on tonight to give you glory, to give you honor and praise for who you are, because you're truly worthy to be praised. In the midst of it all, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we even think, you are still worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. We thank you that you have all power in heaven and earth in your hands. You don't slumber and you don't sleep. So now, Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are once again on tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. We know that we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. But we thank you in Jesus' name. And Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, and all those, and Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to bring forth your word on tonight, and every faithful doer, not just heroes only, but every doer of your word all over the land, and all those that faithfully tuned into this worldwide ministry platform, continue to forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that we may be able to continue to move forward and fulfill our God purpose in the earth for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that have been affected by the coronavirus, those that have lost loved ones. Heavenly Father, I lift up my younger sister, Danetta Burney. She seems to be having some of the symptoms, and we're waiting for the test results to come back for her. But we're claiming healing for her in the name of Jesus. And not only her, but all those that have been affected. Heavenly Father, we know that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders. And there's nothing too hard or impossible for you to do. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word is true, that you have no respect of persons. It reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So we thank you again for who you are, Heavenly Father, knowing that you are still in control and you have the final say over each one of our lives, that you will be glorified through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, Lord, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted in the name of Jesus. Continue to touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus, because we know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders in the earth today. And Father, touch those that are spiritually blind on tonight, that may be tuned in on tonight, that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. As your word goes forth, as you move by your spirit on tonight over the airwaves, we pray, Lord, that you would touch the hearts and minds of those that are spiritually blind, that they would hear your word on tonight. They would be able to open their own mouths, confess their sins, and ask your Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive them of their sins and ask him to come into their hearts and save them. And they, too, will come to know their God's purpose in the earth. They will be able to fulfill it in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we have to do is help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you alone will be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless each listener and their family. Grant them the desires of their hearts. Again, we just give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise for who you are because you're truly worthy to be praised. All those that are testing and agree with this prayer say amen. Lord, we do serve an awesome God. And I want to let the world know that through all of this that we're experiencing, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, do God have your attention now? Tonight's spiritual food for thought, and this is for every believer, every listener on tonight, even those that are still spiritually blind. Tonight's spiritual food for thought, do God have your attention now? I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/ Servant Ambassador Vessels. And once you get there, please follow the steps there so you can go on and click on follow. There was a few procedures that you must follow in order to click on follow. Then once you get there, please click on follow to follow this worldwide ministry. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. So right before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, again, I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready as he gets ready to bring forth part two of his message from the last time he was on. The message title is, What's Stopping You from Seeing the Lord? It's a personal question on tonight. We're going to do our music break, Worth Living. Please enjoy the music break. And following the music break, we're going to come back. We're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox as he shared with us another inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into God's word on tonight. Be blessed.
You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I love that song. Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, soon coming King, God's only begotten beloved Son. He thought that our life, your life, my life, mankind's life was worth living so much that he came down from glory in the form of flesh and paid our price, our sin debt, with his own precious and sinless, righteous and holy precious blood, that we would all have a chance to be redeemed and reconciled back to our Heavenly Father, our Creator. What an awesome God we serve. That's love in action. What a mighty God we serve in our soon-coming King, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. He thought that your life and my life were worth living, that he sacrificed his own life because of his love for God the Father first and then for you and I, that he would sacrifice his life, which he did. And now he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven with all power in his hand, with the victory over hell, death, and the grave in his hands. So now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight, and I do pray that you are ready as well, and I do pray that you have your Bibles. I pray that you have your pens and your paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox, but he's going to share with us another inspirational poem first, then he's going to go directly into God's Word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown, once again for that introduction. I thank you for once again giving me a platform to bring forth God's Word. This is truly an awesome responsibility, and I do not take it lightly. We're going to go immediately into the Word and the poem that the Lord has given me to give unto his people. And the title of the poem this evening is, I Was Looking for Something That Was Already There. I was looking for something that was already there. Every road that I took led me to nowhere. Some roads were exciting. Some roads had a scenic view. But Lord, all roads led me back to you. I took the wrong turn and I got off track. I kept going in the opposite direction and I refused to look back, hoping to come across a familiar sign. I couldn't read the warnings because I was spiritually blind. The first sign that I didn't see was, you must yield the right of way. The next one I came across was, never busy to pray. My pride turned into fear, and I began to get scared. But I didn't notice the sign that said, storm clouds ahead. It got dark really fast, and the wind became violent. That's when I knew it was time to repent. I started to look for an exit so that I could turn around. But that's when the rain, the lightning, and the thunder began to come down. I was in too deep, no shelter could I find. I was looking for anything that would ease my troubled mind. I trembled in fear, and that's the time I remembered when, that what I was looking for would never come from men. I needed agape understanding, patience, and love. And this is a byproduct of the heavens above. I was looking for joy, which the world cannot give. I was looking for an example on how to act and how to live. I was looking for acceptance, but you told me to come as I am. I was looking for guidance, then you told me about Father Abraham. I was looking for a reason to give up my sinful ways. I was looking for the answer on how to extend my days. The storm soon passed over. You had brought me safely through. Everything that I was looking for and needed, Lord, it starts and ends with you. You've been with me all of this time. I am the one who was unfair. Forgive me, my Father, for not seeing that you were always there. Amen. And that's an inspiration to let each and every last one of us know that sometimes the most obvious thing, we overlook it. And so we're going to immediately go into tonight's lesson. It's coming from the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the King James Version, and it reads, in the year that Uzziah died, King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Amen. I just read unto you from the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter, the 1st verse. I mean, the Lord had a rating, a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Amen. Now, if we were to choose a topic tonight, we already have a topic, which was, what's stopping you from seeing the Lord? If we have a subtopic beneath that, that topic would be one word, distractions. And we're going to talk about distractions tonight. And we know that all distractions are not sin, but no one is exempt from having some type of distraction in their life, in their household, around them, on their job, that's stopping them from completely concentrating and focusing on what's going on. Now, tonight's lesson is not a lesson of gloom and doom, but it's a lesson of hope, especially with the things that's going on around us. See, these things have captured our attention to the point that our focus is off of the Lord. We're concentrating so much on Washington that we don't, and on that individual that's in Washington that's making seem like all of the wrong decisions. We're talking here about, they say, a pandemic. Now, if you go back to the book of Exodus, you'll see that the plagues that plagued Egypt when Pharaoh, King Pharaoh, was disobedient unto the Lord. But see, that was then, that was restricted to a localized area. That was known as an epidemic. And see, an epidemic is confined to a certain area. Right now in the United States, before all of this became to the front, we're talking about an opioid epidemic. But see, this was just restricted to the citizens of this country, restricted to the citizens in West Virginia and Ohio and in various parts of this country. So, but when you talk pandemic, we're talking about something that's going on globally. And to coincide with what Brother Brown was saying about now that God has your attention, what are you going to do? Are you going to put your focus someplace else? Are you going to concentrate on things that would not do your, they might do your pocket, they might do your house some good, but they won't do anything for your soul salvation? I know a lot of us right now is concentrating so hard on, forgive me, that stimulus check that they're supposed to be putting in the mail real soon. They say they're putting a check in the mail. But see, that stimulus check, when it runs out, then we're still going to have more bills. So it's time to change our focus. And we know that a distraction is something that takes your mind off of something important. It's something less important that takes your mind off of something that's more important. And it's time for each and every last one of us to reevaluate, because fear is gripping the land. Fear is overcoming and it's overwhelming so many people. But we're not going to dwell on this coronavirus, because you turn on the TV, you hear enough gloom and doom about that. When you turn on the TV, when you go out, you see that paranoia has overtaken everybody. You go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station, where, and everybody look at you. People don't look at you like they used to look at you anymore. They look at you like you a germ, like you contaminated, like, ooh, get away from me. What, you know, what did you have? But see, this is one of the devices that enemy uses in order to take our focus off of the Lord. Because see, the Bible says, be fearful of him that can destroy the body. You know, we're scared of them that could, we're fearful of those that can destroy the body, but we got to be fearful of him that could destroy the body as well as the soul. And as these distractions come our way, last week we talked about over in the second book of Samuel, 11th chapter, the second verse, we talked about King David, who was distracted. He was sitting up on, he was on the balcony, and he looked down and seen this beautiful maiden who was married. He seen her bathing, and he was distracted. He had to have her. How sometimes we look at things and we lust for that, and we become distracted because we got a husband or we got a wife, and we're forgetting how beautiful our husband or our wife is, and we just have the taste of that. So he looked down, and in the process of him looking down, he became seduced by his own desires. I want to say it again. He became seduced by his own desires. That woman didn't have nothing to do with it because she was innocently bathing. But the seduction, which we know seduction is when something comes about you and it plays on it, teases you. It's an invitation to get something that God did not really intend for you to have. So, Brother David, King David, and I can say Brother David because the Bible says if your brother is wrong, tell him of it. Nathan told him about himself. He looked down when he should have looked up. Now we're going to move right on to other people. We're going to go back way in the garden. We're going to look at that deception, the little distractions that were brought forth to Eve. We know that they were given instructions. Hey, anything that you have, I mean, you got access to anything in the garden except for this one thing. I don't want you to touch it. I don't want you to have nothing to do with it, because the day that you touch this, you will surely die. Or you will die. Excuse me. I want to get it right. And so, if you notice, it's mostly beautiful things that capture your attention. Well, don't know woman, won't know ugly man. Don't know man, won't know ugly woman. First thing, if a woman tells her friend, yeah, I got a new beau. The first inquiry that is made is, girl, what do you look like? Like, looks don't have nothing to do with the contents of an individual's heart. So the serpent was beautiful. His movement was beautiful, but he distracted her. It says subtle, and see, something subtle is that something that comes on you so unexpectedly that you don't, and by the time it overtakes you or overpowers you, there's nothing that you can do about it. You know, it's just like somebody in the bar drinking, and they say, okay, I want this particular type of libation. And in the process of them drinking that libation, say, oh, wow, this really goes down smooth. But then by the time it comes for them to go home, they're staggering all over the place. Now, that's what you call subtlety. And those that have been harassed on their job, where an individual, a boss or supervisor may come looking over their shoulder and then just gently put his hand up on their shoulder. You know, say, oh, what is this? What is that? So we have to be careful when these distractions come, because, see, once you get comfortable in something, it's easy, because when that alarm goes off, then that's when we react. But then something sneak up on you. But see, that's the device of that demon. He don't want to come on you strong, because you know, wait a minute, something ain't right about this. But just like that demon told, that serpent told Eve, ain't nothing wrong with this. Ain't nothing wrong with this. You know, hey. And so he lied. We know that he lied. He lied on the Lord. He said, God was deceiving you. He said that. And so sometimes we know that something is not right, but because the way it's presented to us, children, when we're coming up, our parents say, don't do this, don't do that. But then that old contrary friend of ours will come to us and say, man, your mother is wrong. Your dad is wrong. So we just have to be careful of not allowing these distractions to overtake us. And see, over there in the Exorcist, God's word, not me, says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Which simply means that you're not supposed to allow yourself to be distracted by these things of the world, these invitations of the world. Now, we know that Samson, he was distracted. He knew that Delilah was going to. See, it's different when you know something and you still fall into that trap as opposed to not knowing. But he knew that they were going to send somebody out to, you know, to find out his secret. But once again, if you notice, once again, beauty, it plays a big part on being distracted. If you look at your commercials now, over the last 5 or 10 years, they've changed it a lot. But you used to see one of those old skinny girls on there. Skinny girls drinking malt liquor in a bikini and everything. Now they got some plus size women that look good all the time, but looking better and better. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted by these things. Now, when the Lord and Peter, the Lord had prayed, and Peter and the rest of the disciples went out into the ship, and the Lord had some business that he had to take care of, and they were weary from doing the Lord's work. And then all of a sudden in the middle of the night, they look up, and sometimes you could be startled out of your sleep because you're seeing something or you aware of something and you're not truly aware whether it's real or whether you're dreaming. So Peter had to get the verification from the Lord. He said, Lord, because he's seen somebody walking on the water. He already knew the capabilities of the Lord, seeing the Lord walking on water. So he said to the Lord, Lord, is that you? The Lord replied, yes, it is I. So Peter said, okay, well, I'm going to take advantage of this situation. Lord, if it's you, then, let me come out there and walk with you. So the Lord said one simple word. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat unsteady on his legs and everything. But the first thing you know, just that word alone, come. He got out of the boat and he began to walk. And for some strange reason, he heard an earth, wind, and fire concert in the back. He heard a great noise. He heard an earth, wind, and fire concert in the back. And he immediately began to think, why? Because he was distracted. Now, just think about this for 1 minute. When the Lord give you the approval, when he give you the go-ahead sign to do something, you're not supposed to lose your focus. You're supposed to concentrate on that which the Lord has given you to do. But how many times have the Lord gave us approval? Well, it's going to be all right. And then we had doubt in our mind, and we still did not do what the Lord had authorized for it to be done for us. Because when Peter seen and he heard that noise, he said he heard a noise in the background, just joking about earth, wind, and fire. But it seemed like the appropriate group that would get his attention at that time, dealing with the Lord. But as soon as he heard the great noise in the background, what'd he do? It said, the Bible says straightway or instantly or immediately or whatever, quickly, whatever word you want to use, but just that second when his focus was changed, he began to sink. Why? Because he was distracted. Now, I'm saying this because we have allowed ourselves to become distracted. We've taken our mind off of everything that's as important, which is the Lord. We're not doing the things that he has instructed for us to do. We know that sometimes the vantage point is very, very important. And we cannot allow the noise of the world to stop us from hearing the voice of the Lord. It's something that's not to our benefit. It's to no avail to us. Now, we could think about the distractions in our life and see, I like how the Lord gives it to me, because a lot of these patriarchs and saints and matriarchs of the Bible, we don't have the mental capacity to identify with these people. We say, well, hey, I couldn't have had the patience of Job. I couldn't have had this. I couldn't have did that. And so by us not being able to identify with biblical people, then we say that it does not apply to us. We got to look and take it one step further. Lord has allowed me to capture the mindset of people. And see, if you capture the mindset of an individual, then it may not justify why they did something or justify why they reacted in a certain way, but it'll give you a better understanding of what they were thinking at that particular time. Because, see, distractions were made in order for you to just lose your focus, in order for you to just lose your concentration, in order for you to just stop in your tracks and attend to that special need that just rose up. And as I said earlier, distractions, all distractions are not sin. Now, how many times have we left a pot on or was in the kitchen and we became distracted, and then all of a sudden somebody said something and we said, oh, yeah, I got to go back there and check on this. But distractions were designed to take your mind off of what really, really is important. There's so many distractions. We have distracted driving, but it's been graduated from distracted driving to distracted walking. You see so many people walking in the telephone poles and walking in the stop signs and everything on the electronic devices. Electronic devices are distractions. But this is an opportunity for each and every last one of us with what's going on right now. It's an opportunity for us, whether we know it or not, to get back in touch, to go into the most important room of the house. Nope, I'm not talking about the bathroom. Nope, I'm not talking about the bedroom. Nope, I'm not talking about the kitchen. Nope, I'm talking about the dining room. I'm talking about the place where great decisions are made, where a long time ago we would sit at the dining room table and Dad or Mom would grill us on, boy, how was your day in school? How you doing this? And we would solve whatever issues that we had at that dinner table. But see, with the electronic devices that we have now, you can have a whole house full of people. And somebody on their iPod, somebody on their tablet, somebody on their computer, somebody looking at TV. But don't you see this opportunity that God has given each and every last one of us to get back in touch with our family? Now, I tell you, with me, this situation that's going on right now, it's kind of overwhelming me. Why? Because I knew that my wife was beautiful, but I'm just so overwhelmed by her beauty, I don't know what to do. It's killing me. But I'm willing to take that. I mean, it's giving us an opportunity, or it should give us an opportunity, to sit down and hold decent conversations one with the other. No such thing as a long time ago as I want to send out for pizza. Give Mama a chance to get back in that house, in that kitchen, or dad, whoever the cook in the house is. And I know in today's modern society that men do as much cooking as women do. But it gives us that opportunity as a family to get together, to talk, to fellowship, to have that one thing that's been missing out of our life for a long time, and that's a good conversation. If you think back and reflect, when was the last time you had a good conversation with your husband, with your wife, with your sister, with your brother, whoever happens to live in the house with you? Over in Corinthians, the Lord said, take ye and eat. His body was broken for us. So that dinner time and that dinner table is, to me, is one of the most important things, important rooms in the house. And if you notice, I omitted the bedroom for one specific reason. I omitted the bedroom because there's more lies told in the bedroom than it is in any other part of the house. More promises made in the bedroom than it is in any other part of the house. So we have to be mindful of what's going on. If we go to 23rd number of Psalms, we know that there is protection. We know that the Lord is my shepherd. Wait a minute now, hold on. I don't know about you, but I take that real personal. My shepherd, I know he's your shepherd too, but he's my shepherd. I shall not want. Okay, what is that saying to me? It's saying that I don't have no need for anything except for what the Lord provide me with. He maketh me. Sometimes we push ourselves so far that, you know, like a little kid, sometimes you have to make your kids lay down because they would play until they drop. But see, now with all these distractions that's going on around us, it's easy for us to take our focus off of what it is that the Lord is telling us. So, my brothers and my sisters, it's time. Brother Brown, when I first met him some years ago, he was singing at a funeral. And he was singing a song, and I don't exactly remember the lyrics to the song, but he was saying, but there's a few of the lyrics that stood out that stays with me even now. So that in times like these, when you need a savior, because see, we can't put our trust in that stimulus and Mnuchin. You know, they changed their mind 15 times about how they gonna do this situation. Can't put your mind and your trust in him because you will be distracted. But the Lord is a surety. Got to get rid of the fear, because see, fear is a distraction. If you notice, when you're scared, when the Lord tells you to do something and you're fearful of that which the Lord told you to do, it will distract you from what it is that the Lord told me to do. Lord told me that I should tell my daughter that she needs to sit herself down, or my son. Shoot, I ain't going to tell my son to do that. Shoot, he might do something to me. Now, who am I more fearful of, the Lord or my son? But see, we build up that fear inside of ourselves that it keeps us from doing what it is that the Lord will have us to do. Now, Lot's wife, I know I'm all over the place here. Lot's wife, she was distracted. When the Lord told Lot and his wife and his family, hey, you better get away from this place, and whatever you do, don't look back. Do not look back. Now, those that live in Detroit, even those that don't live in Detroit, back in the 60s, the Temptations. Now, you might wonder what this guy had to do with the lesson night, but the Temptations, they had a song. It said, keep on walking, don't look back. Just put your hand in mine. Just put your cares, you know. So this is what the Lord is saying. Don't, there's nothing back there for you, because those people that is back there, they had the opportunity. They said they had ample enough time to repent, but what they do, they repented not. So when you've been removed from a place, just like an individual, house is burning down. Run back in the house, never come back out. Why? Because they wanted to get some photos. And people died for, I hate to say it, but they died for crazy reasons. Why? Because they were distracted. So we cannot allow this distraction to keep to continue, because this distraction is designed for one thing, and that's to take your mind off the Lord. Now we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is unusual for human beings. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. Hold on, wait a minute. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. Wait, break that down to me. God is not going to allow you to be distracted, knowing that it might put your soul in jeopardy. So we got to be extra careful. Now we go to Romans 12 and 2. And this also tells us about distraction. It tells us, be ye not conformed, or the transformed. Now, be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So, I'm not to allow, you know, if you know, the way things is now, this girl wear a short skirt, in order to get the attention that she just got, I got to wear a shorter skirt. So what you call it, that is being conformed to go along with it, to allow people to distract me to do things that I know that I should not be doing only because I want to get recognition. God does not want that to happen. He does not want that to play out in my life. Okay, continuing on. We know that these distractions, and I keep saying it, and I keep, and will continue to say it, they're designed for one particular reason, and that's to make you, you may not say it verbally, but we say it with our actions, to get you to denounce God. Now we go back, and I know we're bouncing all over, but we go back to the garden. And Eve told Adam what she did, and he became distracted. He was convinced, but see, another distraction came from that distraction. When God asked him, well, you know, what you doing? He said, well, I'm hiding because I'm naked. So who told you that you were naked? He said, well, you know, that this, first of all, what he did, he passed the buck. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Man, he passed the buck. He said, that woman, I'm just paraphrasing you, that woman that you gave me, gave to me, and I did eat. Now, can't you hear your mama or your sister or your mama or your daddy say, boy, girl, what did I tell you? Little Tommy, jump off that bridge. Are you going to jump off that bridge? So these are the distractions. See, and I said it that way because lies are distractions. Sometimes people will tell you what they think you want to hear because they think you want to hear it. And because it's so melodious to your eardrums, then we go for the wild card. So lies are distractions. Why? Because they distract you from the truth. They take you away from the truth. So we cannot allow. So we have to have that discernment. We have to be able to decipher. Because many of us, on many different occasions, knew that our children was not telling us the truth. Now, I've heard this so many times. Mama, Dad, that teacher just don't like me. Instead of us inquiring with them, well, that teacher got now about 30, 40 people in the class. Why is that teacher just picking on you? Instead of us asking, what did you do to, you know, draw something to the teachers? No, that teacher don't like me because I'm wearing some Gucci shoes. I'm wearing some Calvin Klein jeans. And we go for that, knowing that that kid is telling the untruth, knowing that that kid is using deceptive and distraction tongue to make us lose our focus because, see, we love our kid. And ain't nobody going to touch my kid. If you touch my kid, you got a problem with me. So these distractions I'm talking about, husbands, don't be distracted from loving your wife, from doing what is necessary to keep her happy, to take care of your family. Wife, meet the needs of that husband, reasonable needs. I'll put it that way, and I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to get off that subject real fast. But don't allow yourself to be distracted. Don't be transformed. Don't be conformed. But transform, and if you think about that Transformer movie, a little bitty bug turned into a big old car. But be transformed. It's time to change. Time to get out of this distracted way of thinking. It's time to take our focus off of those people that is in power. Those people that we put so much trust in. So many people that we are focusing so much on and taking our focus off of the Lord. If you notice, I started with in the year that King Uzziah died. How many of us have those type of people in our life right now? That we believe everything that certain individuals say. That we can't see that we're being deceived by people. And this goes for a lot of people. I mean, parents, don't tell me that your kid don't know how to manipulate you. Don't tell me that those kids' tears will not bring that last dollar out of your pocket. Grandma, I'm talking to you. Don't tell me that money that you was going to buy that loaf of bread with end up in your grandchild's candy box. So I'm just saying that now is not the time for us to allow ourselves to be distracted, because the distractions, especially now, it's time to concentrate. Concentrate on our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's a friend that will stick closer than a brother. He is one that it would be impossible for him to deceive you. Why? Because he already knows your thoughts. He's already going to be there for you. He's already going to meet your needs. Just like with Peter, when he got the authorization. He got the authorization. See, if you know, sometimes you have to get the authorization to do some things. But when the Lord told him, come, that should have erased his fear when he took those couple of steps on the water. Hey, this ain't so bad. But we allow distractions to cause us to sink, to cause us to drown, to cause us to lose our lives over things that the Lord didn't authorize for us to have. It's not that he changed his mind. The Lord just said, come. When he commissioned the disciples, he said, come with me. And I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, you know, it's going to be easy. He didn't say that you're not going to have, the Lord's not saying that you're not going to have no rough times. But he said, come. And that is our final thought for the day. The Lord is telling each and every last one of us, come. He had his arms outstretched, waiting for you. This is a personal invitation. As I say, spend more time with your family. To love your brothers and sisters more, to be more patient, because with everybody locked up in the house, you know it's going to be some short tempers. But now is the time to put those little petty differences aside and just see my brother for who he is. He's an interesting individual. I might not like some of the things that he do, but he's all right. Why do I allow these things to distract me and stop me from loving him the way I should? Why am I holding on to this anchor that I have been holding on for so long? Why? Because I've been distracted. So it's time to let these distractions go. It's time to love as the Lord has loved us. Love ye one another as I have loved you. It's time for us, not like King David, not to look down, but to look up. Time for us not to be like Lot's wife. It's time for us to look ahead instead of looking back. Because, see, those are destructions distractions that cost them. These are distractions that will cost you. Now, one of my favorite sayings, when it comes down to life, if you're moving ahead in the Lord and you're moving at a rapid pace, just think about this. A jet plane doesn't have any rearview mirrors, but it do have radar. And that radar is the Lord, because he will warn you. He's your early warning and your late warning system. So take heed to the distractions. Don't allow them to interfere with your soul's salvation. Amen. And with that, I turn over the remaining part of this program over into the hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. What a powerful word on tonight. Part two of your message title, What's Stopping You from Seeing the Lord? That's a personal question on tonight. It may be directed to you, whoever's listening. What's stopping you from seeing the Lord? And it always boils down to some form of distractions. Thank God for this word on tonight. It was such a much-needed word for such a time as this that we're living in right now. And we thank God for this powerful word. And I pray that it has been received by the listeners on tonight, and that you're going to wrote down some of these scriptures, and you can go back and meditate on these scriptures that Deacon Marvin Cox gave on tonight pertaining to this message title. So we've got to give God glory, honor, and praise for who he is, even in the midst of what's going on around us in the world. I was watching the news today, and they said they mentioned two different people, two different authors. Their books was on the bestsellers list. But then they turned around and mentioned the Bible. The Bible is on the bestsellers list like never before. And I wonder why. God is getting people's attention. So that's why I believe that God gave me the spiritual food for thought for tonight. Do God have your attention now? So now people are going back to the Lord. They're going back to the Word. What did the Lord say about this situation, about your situation? Don't you know that God is still in control? Not the president, not the king, not the queen, but the God himself, our creator. He is in full control at all, no matter what it looks like. And guess what? Through it all, he's still worthy to be praised, because there is none like him in all the earth. So I just thank God for this word on tonight through Deacon Marvin Cox. We continue to lift up Deacon Marvin Cox and his family in prayer, that God will continue to bless him and use him as he sees fit for his glory, in the name of Jesus. We're going to close out in prayer on tonight, as we always do. I'm asking all listeners, please pray with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace. Now, Lord, we thank you that you are our healer. You are our strength. You are our comforter. You are everything that we need. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. So now, Lord, we thank you that you have and hold all in your hands. So now, Lord, we pray that you continue to move by your spirit, continue to have your way in the lives of your people all over the land, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, until this coming Saturday, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that Deacon Margaret Cox is going to be bringing forth God's word again on this coming Saturday night. So you want to tune in and be blessed by him once again on this coming Saturday night. Until the next time, know that I love you. God loves you even more. Until then, the next time, good night.
Come on, KD.
Hallelujah. It's an old song. It's an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. me. Yes, sir. Pray, pray for me.